Jesus' name. We're turning to John chapter 19, reading verses 25 through 30. And we will read here about a mother, the mother of the Lord Jesus. This morning, the words of a song came to me. If I could hear my mother pray again. I don't remember hearing my mother pray audibly, but I do have a precious memory of seeing her kneel by her bed before she would wearily crawl in to that bed for a night's rest. She would kneel there beside her bed, and she was praying. It wasn't audible, but she was praying, and I knew she was, and I pictured her kneeling there praying for me and all her children. Weary from a day of cooking and washing our clothes and cleaning house, and 100 other things. This morning I say happy Mother's Day. Chris, I love you. You're a wonderful mother to our 5 sons. And I know this Mother's Day is different. And I know it's because of weaknesses in me, partly that Caleb is 670 miles west. But there's redemption at work in many hearts and lives. And I thank God for that place out there, because those men are committed to doing God's work and to helping those who are broken, that there would once again be beauty for ashes. So God bless you as mothers. Never give up hope concerning a child. God hears your prayers. John 19, 25 to 30. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. All who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Certainly thank Brother Glenn for his prayer on my behalf, as well as of each of you. And I thank Donald for bringing out water, because I sure need it a lot of times. It just might seem like a small thing, but certainly appreciate that being delivered up here for each minister. Thomas Edison said, I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me, unquote. Many of us would have similar testimonies this morning. What would you say about your mother? My mother was not a perfect person, but I can say that she was a godly mother. She sacrificed herself for me She loved and cared for me unconditionally. Always supported me, even as an adult. She taught me by words and actions, and her influence still impacts me today, though she is going to be with the Lord. And without her involvement in my life would have suffered in so many ways, and who knows where I may be this morning. Mothers are the makers of memories. They are the keepers of order. Fold it this way, put it in the right place, and do this first. Mothers are encouragers with words like, "You can do it. It will be all right," even when we're not so sure. Mothers are helpful even when it means sacrificing themselves. Mothers are receptive even to some of our ideas that really aren't too smart at times. Mothers are empathetic. They feel the pain of their child and do what they can to relieve it. Mothers work not in the limelight, but often they do things that bring little attention or are just simply expected of them. A godly mother is a treasure to her family. A treasure. You see, mothers don't need to be perfect people without flaws or failures. None are this way, and none can be that way. However, a mother does need to be living out the goal of being a godly mother and pursuing God's design for her life and receiving fulfillment from it. If you would, you could turn over to 1 Timothy 2, or at least listen as I read some verses from there, beginning at verse 8. 1 Timothy 2. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now, verse 15 there is a verse that has a unique meaning, I believe. It doesn't mean that a woman who has a child is automatically saved when it says that she shall be saved in childbearing. There are at least two thoughts as to the interpretation of this verse, and one of them is that salvation was brought into the world through a mother. The life of Jesus, or Jesus being born as a human being, was brought into this world through a woman, to which we now have our access to salvation because of the finished work of Jesus. The other thought of interpretation is this, that because it was Eve and not Adam that was deceived by the serpent, which led to sin, woman now has that distinction upon them. And so here is a way for a woman to be saved, and the word means to be delivered or healed or preserved, meaning that a godly woman can find significance to life by raising children that will have a godly influence on this world. You see, a man can have influence or can influence the world by way of positions of leadership or pastoring a church or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know where we're going with that. But this is not the woman's way. Hers is to influence by raising children, and thus the importance of motherhood. So important still today. And I want to declare this morning that if all you are is just, and I put that in quotation marks, if all you are is just a mother, you have a job and a responsibility that is so vital and so important that only you can do it. It only can be done by you. John MacArthur says, and I quote, "A man influences society from the top down, and a woman influences society from the bottom up. And the two come together to create that godly society that God has so purposely designed, on quote, he's right, I believe, and on target. However, this is God's design. This is God's design for most women, but not all. Now listen closely. The Bible tells us that God's plan for some women is to remain single and not to be mothers. And God has also kept some married women from being able to have children. And that's his design for these individuals. And therefore, they are no less important than others. And God gives them fulfillment in some other ways that he has designed for their lives. I think it's important that we speak that this morning. And as much as I want to declare the importance of motherhood, I also want to declare the importance of these individuals who are fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. One is just as important as the other. But with this being Mother's Day, our focus is directed to mothers and our response to them. You know, there's more than one example of a godly mother in Scripture. Certainly Hannah is a good example, one to be looked to. But for this, our thoughts this morning, we want to look to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And first, let's consider the beginning of motherhood. We need to recognize some foundational blocks that I believe need to be in place, and they are of utmost importance and can be considered as the beginning of motherhood. First of all, as a woman, you need to be devoted to God. When the angel came to Mary and told her she would conceive and bring forth a son and call him Jesus, the angel spoke to Mary and said this in Luke 1, verse 30. She said, "Fear not, Mary," or the angel said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." That implies and tells me that she was a devoted person, a devoted to God. And then later in the same chapter, Mary said in response to the words of Elizabeth, she said in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Those weren't words that just happened to come out of her mouth. Yes, they maybe were inspired of God, but that was her heart. It was because of the person that she was. She was devoted to God. She goes on to say, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." She knew her place. She was devoted to God. And like Mary, you need to be an example to others that life is about following God and relying on him and having Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You know, there's no question. I've never been a mother, can't be a mother. But I know this is true. I've been around long enough, seen enough. There's no question that at times being a mother is very overwhelming. But God never intended for you to take it on by yourself. His purpose is to help you. You know, Ruth Graham in this thought said this, and I quote, she said, "As a mother, my job is to take care of the possible and trust God with the impossible." That's true. God never intended for you to have to take on the job of a mother alone. Thus, the importance of being devoted to God. And the beginning of motherhood is for a woman to first be a woman of faith. Secondly, you need to be devoted to your husband. I believe Mary was devoted to Joseph, her husband. We don't read a lot about their relationship in Scripture, but there's nothing there in Scripture for us to cause us to think otherwise. They're spoken of in Luke 2 and Matthew 2, but I believe that she was devoted to her husband. And I believe this morning when thinking about that, it's important to say that the Bible is clear that believers are to marry believers. that believers are to marry believers, and it's within this context that the husband and the wife relationship will work best. And it's also within this context that fathers and mothers can best fulfill their roles. And I also believe it's important to say, when we talk about being devoted to your husband at this point, that it's important to state that God's design for marriage is still one man and one woman, and that they will stay together as long as they both shall live. Sad to say, many marriage ceremonies are now saying that we will stay together as long as we both shall love. If a person is not prepared or ready to make the commitment that it's as long as we both shall live, then one should not marry. With this in mind, one of the most important characteristics of being a godly mother is your relationship with your husband. That is critical and it's crucial. A husband and a wife, what they will communicate or what we communicate to our children by our relationship with each other will stay with them throughout their lives. It will impact them. They will remember, they will see, or they will take what they've learned. And it'll be there. And it'll live out longer than we will. Husbands, that means that we have a responsibility too. We're not going to be perfect either, but we also do need to be godly. This is the husband's role. And when that is happening, again, not that we're perfect husbands, but when we are our purpose and when we are a godly husband, then that will strengthen the wife's pursuit of being a godly mother. And it allows her to grow and to respond to that and to fulfill her purpose. So sisters, this morning, the beginning of motherhood. So far, we didn't even talk about what you should do to be, or as a mother. But the beginning of motherhood, I believe, is to be devoted to God and then devoted to your husband. Then you're ready to be devoted to your children. You're ready to fulfill your calling to be a godly mother. I would say here, don't underestimate the importance of being in your home with your child. I'm so thankful that Carol was able to be at our home every day with the children. You can't put a price tag on that. It's invaluable. Don't underestimate that the importance of being in your home with your child or your children. Here's something to keep in mind, that being a mother and making a house a home has the same four principles as remodeling a house physically. It will take more time than you planned. It will cost much more than you figured. It will be messier than you anticipated. And it will require more patience than you thought possible. It's true. Well, in emphasizing the importance of mothers, we've looked at the beginning of motherhood and what that means. Now let's consider a mother's care. A little 3-year-old girl said this. She said, "Doggy says bow wow, sheep says ba ba, cow says moo moo, mommy says no no." Pretty perceptive 3-year-old. It is true that a mother says no, no, but even that is for the good of the child. However, a mother's care involves much more. A child's very life is dependent on his or her mother's care. You think about it, a child, the very life of that child is dependent on the care of a mother. By the time a child grows through the early years and into the teenage years and finally into adulthood, a lot of mother's care has been poured into that life. A lot of hours. A lot of hard work. This morning, do we appreciate mother's hard work on our behalf, all the sacrifices, all the little things that make life easier and better for us. Do we thank her? One person realized their failure at this, and at least at overlooking all the little things, and it's expressed it by writing these words: "Oh, Mama, tonight you're laying heavy on my mind. It just hit me. I broke right down and I cried. I don't know if I've ever thanked you one time for patching up my skinned up knees, kissing my tears, loving on me, for all the nights you laid awake, praying to God I'd make it home safe, the countless things you went without so I could have what I have now. I know I don't tell you like I oughta, but I love you, Mama. Mama, ain't it like you to make light or to see as insignificant all you've done? To make yourself out to be the blessed one. Oh, Mama, this time I'm going to have to disagree. You're the best there is. You know, I think that each of us ought to be able to, and it's okay with saying, look, you, Mother, were the best there is, and I believe that for myself, and I hope you can say that for yourself. You're the best there is, and God gave you to me, and I'm so thankful for all those little things, for patching up my skinned up knees, kissing my tears, loving on me, for all the nights you laid awake, praying to God I'd make it home safe, the countless things you went without, so I could have what I have now. I know I don't tell you like I oughta, but I love you, Mama. Thank Mother for her care. Tell her often that you love her. There's no need to be embarrassed to say that you love your mother in front of others. We appreciate and thank Mother for her prayers on our behalf and the spiritual training that she gives us. I would venture to say that most of us, as we're growing up, we just kind of overlook that, or we take it for granted. We don't realize the impact of that on our lives and what Mother has done. Maybe until we're a mother or a father. It's part of a mother's care and her love for her child. Someone has said, and I quote, "The greatest and most unselfish substance in the world is the love of a mother for her child." There was a little girl who was looking at her mother, and she said, "You have pretty hair and such nice eyes and a kind face, Mommy. But Mommy, why are your arms so ugly?" "Let me tell you what happened. When you were a baby, a fire started in our house. I ran through the smoke to get you in your crib. I brought you out safely, but my arms got burned as I shielded you. I recovered from the burns, but my arms are scarred. You are right, they are ugly." The little girl thought about what she had heard. "Mommy," she said, "you have pretty hair, nice eyes, and a beautiful face. But I think your arms and hands are the most beautiful of all." I believe that this morning there's not a mother here that wouldn't do that same thing for their child. It's the love and the care of a mother. A mother's love and care for her child doesn't stop when the child becomes an adult, but it continues throughout the child's life. And we see that with Mary. We know that she was concerned when Jesus was young, when he was 12 and when he was teaching, and they, Joseph and Mary, didn't know where he was at. Remember, they went back for him, and they were concerned, and that was the love of a mother there coming out in Mary. But that love continued for her son, even into adulthood and to the end of his, or throughout his life. Her love for her son Jesus are so evident, her love and her care, as she experienced something so difficult as standing at the cross where her son was being put to death. It's pretty hard to fathom as a mother or father to have to experience that. John 19 tells us that Mary was there. It says that she stood by the cross of Jesus. She was there for her son. And how wonderful it is to have a mother there for us when we go through tough times and painful experiences. A mother's care, even as an adult, you have a godly mother that has that kind of care and love for you. You know that you can go back to them. You can call them. Mother's still there. I experienced that. Many of you have or still do. Mary was loyal to her son. Others were standing against him. It wasn't a very popular position to be on the side of Jesus there at the cross. Others were standing against him, and even before the cross, but because he was betrayed, he was denied, he was left alone by others, and you know, even the closest of his circle had run and fled. But Mary, his mother, stood with him. A godly mother is loyal to her children. She stands with them even if all others seem to be against them. It's true. A mother's care. Mary suffered pain for her son. When Simeon got to see Jesus in Luke 2, and we know that account of, he got a chance to see Jesus, and in Luke, he's speaking to Mary there. He prophesied by saying in verse 35 of Luke 2, he says, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." And surely as Mary stood there at that cross, watching her son dying, unable to help him, you know what it's like as a parent when you really wish you could take the pain or you could do something for your child and you can't, you feel helpless. And it's like a sword that's piercing through your heart. No question, she was feeling the sword as she watched. Howard Bean writes this, and I quote, he said, "I think that in a sense, she felt the blows of the hammer, the piercing of the thorns, the sting of the scourging, and the taunts of the priests," unquote. Part of a godly mother's care is that she suffers when her child suffers. No matter what her child's age is, that doesn't matter. She still suffers. A mother's care is like no others. Listen to these words that are taken from a mother's perspective. I know that most of you here, perhaps all the mothers here, would make this same testimony. "God gave me a gift that I could not believe the day that he sent me you. Though it's not always easy raising a child, there's nothing that I'd rather do. Washing your clothes, wiping your nose, picking you up when you fall. Through the good and the bad, happy and the sad, I can say I've loved it all. God knows that I've tried to pattern my life with a faith that would see you through. The decisions you make, steps that you take, may God protect and always guide you. When you've done wrong, you feel all alone, facing the night without end. Know that I'll always be there." One of the things that we have tried to impress on our children, that as long as we have life and as long as God allows us life, we will always be there. I'll always be there. I'll always care. Call on me when you need a friend, because in my eyes, the eyes of your mother, I see you in every sunrise. And when you're grown with a home of your own, I will still see you as my baby in my eyes. That's true, isn't it? That's a mother. And considering the importance of motherhood, we've seen the beginning of motherhood and a mother's care. And thirdly, let's consider a proper response to our mother. Brother Glenn talked a little about it after he read the scripture. Maybe it was in your prayer, I believe. At any rate, I know he was touched on it. But it's very significant what Jesus did while hanging on the cross before he died. Very, very significant. Mary's there, and Jesus sees her and his mother, and he speaks to her, and he makes sure that she's provided for and she's taken care of. And then soon after that, he died. Or he lays down his life. And it just struck me as Glenn read that verse 28 of John 19. It says, After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. And I think when we think of that, the all things that were accomplished, we think of the act of redemption. But it implied there is that was part of what had to be accomplished. Speaking to his mother and reaching out to her and showing the honor and respect and love that he did for her and providing for her. That was part of what still needed to be accomplished before he could lay his life down. Here he is. Jesus laying down his life. He's doing what he came to do. It's of extreme importance because of the impact on so many lives. One can say that this was the most important event in the history of mankind because it would make it possible for every person who ever lived, who ever will live, to be able to choose salvation and experience it. And yet in the midst of this, Jesus thought of his mother. Oh, the significance and the importance of that. Jesus didn't let his divine duty. He had a divine calling. He was to come and lay his life down on that cross. But he didn't let his divine duty of dying for the sins of the world be an excuse for neglecting his human or his earthly duty of caring and loving his mother. I'll tell you, if he didn't neglect it, what does that mean for you and I this morning? It was important enough to Jesus to see that his mother was cared for. He said, look, John, here's your mother. Mother, this is now your son. He'll care for you in my place. He saw that she was provided for. It was an act of tender love for his mother. When Jesus spoke to his mother here in verse 26, he said, woman. And some people might think, well, that don't sound the best, but you know, really, that was a term of respect. When he addressed her as woman, it was really a term of respect. It was a term of honor. It was used when approaching or speaking a queen or someone of very importance or someone very significant. That's the meaning of the word, as Jesus said, woman. He loved his mother. He cared for her by seeing that she would be provided for, and he honored and he respected her. You know, Jesus was wiser. He was wiser than Mary, wasn't he? He was more godly. He was perfect. He was more faithful. He was more intelligent. He was more holy than his mother, and yet still he recognized the importance of honoring and respecting his mother. Listen, this morning, our mothers, hopefully it's a godly mother for each of us. But what Brother Brian said is true. There are those who have had those circumstances or are in them. Our mothers have faults. They have weaknesses and they still sin at times. They're not perfect, but we must still honor and respect our mother. Oh, the significance and the importance of it. Are our words to our mother or about her respectful? I would just make a caution here. I know this is generally not about one's own mother, but sometimes there are comments made, and even in joking, or someone will say, your mother. Your mother is this. I don't believe they're very respectful comments. Be careful. The proper way for us to respond to our mother is by loving her, caring for her, and providing for her needs. You know, it's something how that comes around, a mother's care. If we live long enough, often we get chances or opportunities to return that care. Provide and care for mother and her needs. And that proper way to respond to our mother is also through honoring and respecting her. Jesus set the example. The importance of motherhood. Where does it begin? By a woman being devoted to God. And then being devoted to her husband. And then she can be devoted to her children. Motherhood involves the wonderful love and care of a mother. I've only scratched the surface this morning. So many things that you could mention or that we take for granted of a mother's care and love. And our proper response to it needs to follow Christ's example, one of respect, honor, love, and providing for her needs. So thankful God gave me a godly mother. I don't think honoring your mother ends when they pass from this life. I purpose to honor her when she was living. I purpose to honor her since she's gone. And this morning I publicly say I'm thankful to God for a godly mother. What a blessing she was in my life. I'm thankful for my godly wife, who's a godly mother to our children. I purpose to honor her. I fail at times. But today I publicly honor you, Carol, for all you are and for all you do as a godly mother. I see the effects. I'm thankful for your love. God help us to respond properly to our mothers. For you sisters, to recognize the importance of motherhood. To realize that only you can do it. So vital and so important.
Good sermon. I want to say something yet before we come to prayer. I'm glad for Mother's Day. I'm glad there's a special day. But you know what? We need to honor mothers every day. Every day. I want to read a poem to you. Well, it's a song, really. And I guess I did before, but some of the younger ones maybe never heard this. Sitting alone in an old rocking chair, I saw an old mother with silvery hair. She seemed so neglected by those who should care, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. Her hands were calloused and wrinkled and old. A life of hard work was the story they told. And I thought of angels as I saw her there rocking alone in an old rocking chair. I know some children in an orphan's home who'd think they'd own heaven if she were their own. They'd never be willing to let her sit there rocking alone in an old rocking chair. It wouldn't take much to gladden her heart, just some small remembrance on somebody's part. A letter would brighten her empty life there, rocking alone in an old rocking chair. Don't neglect them. Some of us don't have mothers anymore, but we do have wives. We're thankful. Let's pray. Let's stand for prayer.